You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to, of course, Double Tap. This is, of course, a Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. And that's a lot to say because I am, of course, one of your hosts, Jeremiah Meza Ward, and I'm, of course, here with the infamous, the famous, the one and only, the pun himself, but not Papa Pun.
No, that
Gabriel
is...
Static.
He's now known as Coach Pun, but yeah. Fair enough.
Static Gorilla.
Yes,
sir,
that is
good
me.
Sir, Gabriel Medina.
Yeah.
We are, of course, here on episode 198.
That is
and
true.
And it's getting close to 200.
Oh, man.
Close to
surprises, 200. Spoilers.
No. Yes. And unfortunately, guys, we aren't. Unfortunately, guys, we're not going to have Dre today. You know, crash tag. He's held up as always by something, you know, work related. But we're going to hold it down for him. We're going to keep it kicking in, guys. I just want to say thank you for just tuning in and listening to. I don't know. In my opinion, we're the greatest podcast in the world.
Darn right.
That's how I look at it. At least for fighting games. Yeah. But don't forget, guys, you can always join us by listening in and reviewing and sending comments and tweets. And you can also, of course, check it out on Spotify to, you know, give all your good information, daily, weekly, whatever you want to look at it as, depending how many episodes you want to watch a day or listen to. But, guys, we will definitely plug in our media outlet at the end of the show, but we do want to jump right into the Fighter's Quarter. What do we got, Gabe?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so.
Did she die again?
In the Fighter's Corner, I freaked out. I was playing Warzone, and then I saw the Game Awards come on, and then I was like, oh, right, a Smash character is going to be announced today. So then I set up my OBS. I'm like, oh, man, it's already starting. This is the first thing. I go to OBS. I go to setup, and as soon as I started OBS, I said to myself, all right, what do we have here? And I rushed, and I forgot to put the sound on. So you can't hear the trailer music for this character for Smash. But you can hear my reaction, and you have to be careful
with your
ears. Oh, yeah. I said, no. So I had my hands up, and I'm like, all right, what is this? As soon as I saw this character slice the thing, I said, what is this? And then I heard the music. As soon as I heard the music for this character, I freaked out. I said, what? No. I thought my grandma was going to come upstairs and ask me what's wrong. But it's Sephiroth.
Were you like screaming like the high like at a high pitch like a girl like where you're
I'll send
like,
you the
oh
video
my god
eventually.
It's like been so, it's been so long since I've seen you and it's a meeting of great friends nah
listen this, though that might happen no I will not scream but when I see this character on Thursday be fully fleshed out I'm going to probably freak out. I've been posting on like Instagram like crazy with just music and stories and all of that, with just hilariosity. But I couldn't believe it.
Can I just state for the record?
Yeah.
They did this so much justice because I was sitting there like, okay, I knew that Sephiroth was in it. I was kind of upset I got spoiled a little bit. I was like, oh man, I missed it. I got to go watch it. By?
Oh, you got spoiled because you didn't watch
because,
it live?
Yeah, because like I didn't watch, obviously I didn't want, me personally, I did not want to support Game Awards this year.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of lackluster. But I was like, oh, people are like, Melee is going to be announced. And I saw Esom's page. So PG Esom was like, yeah, I'm going live all day. You know, we're waiting for this new character. And I was like, yo, new Smash character? We just had Steve, though. What else could you bring?
Here's the thing. So I was speculating. I said to him, Pedro, Papa Pun, as you mentioned, I said to him, bro, it has to be... Or I said to friends of mine, I said, it can't be somebody as elaborate as Steve because from Min Min to Steve, it took a very long time for them to prepare Steve. It took many months for them to have another character such as Steve. The reason being is because Steve, they had to fix each block in every stage in order for him to have the materials. So that took forever to do. And then because they were going to have an announcement for a character, I said, yo, this is going to be a simple character they're going to make. Because it's not going to take very long for them to have him. So for it to be Sephiroth, I'm like, he's not hard to design.
He isn't. He's right. A sword character.
Yeah.
You already have like all the placements for that.
Exactly. I even heard that when Greninja was made back in Brawl, that it only took like a week for him to make.
No, Did they state before? I forgot if they stated before we knew it was going to be a Final Fantasy character, another one, or they didn't. Okay, so they didn't. So that's perfect.
There was
here's the thing. Here's the thing. I went to go watch the video, right? And I'm like, they can't surprise me. It's just Sephiroth, right? You know, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. But as I was watching the video, you ever get that moment where you're like, yo, did I like, do I need to put on subs? Because I just heard Cloud say the name. Like, Cloud literally goes like, I see it as it's happening. And I'm like, oh, okay. The hands mean nothing. They literally brought something into this world they had no control over and no reason to bring here in the first place. Right. He's just like, you see it. And then Cloud hits that hard English. He goes, Sephiroth. And you're just like,
I heard Sephiroth. And I was like,
wait, really? Hold on.
I just couldn't. I man, this was very. Yeah, and listen, there's so much. This CG trailer, like, they did it all justice, like you said. Like, they did the scenes from Advent Children perfectly. A lot of homage to, or homage, however you say that word, I don't care. A lot of homage to just the whole thing, all of Sephiroth's character, like the storm in the sky from Advent Children, the fire, which is the most iconic thing of Sephiroth. So obviously, let's go over the some of the moves in here. He's got a
Before we do that,
yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say something. Something I didn't really understand, and I'm paying more attention to it.
Yes.
And my dad, yes, they gave me the Japanese, so I didn't have to put my subtitles on. So that was kind of crazy.
Oh yeah, the whole trailer was about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did everything slightly from a small point of view of Pit, which I didn't understand. Like, I was thinking, like, oh, are they gonna have Pit? Like, literally, when I saw, I was like, is at the Pit start, gonna fly up and burn up and just not die.
So in the entrance, disappear? You mean?
Yeah, like at like 20, like 19 seconds, they just show like it starts looking from like Pit's point of view, and I'm like, is Pit secretly like the main character of this story or something? Because why are they looking at it through his eyes? But then I was like, maybe it's just they wanted to show a moment.
I think that was all just a troll. Like, they didn't want to show Cloud.
They were trying to keep it
all
away from it, yeah. Right.
So yeah, they didn't want to show Cloud at all. They just wanted to show. Oh, maybe they were okay. So maybe they were actually teasing with an angel, Pit being an angel, one winged angel. Stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
So, because the other part is the other homage is that the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake, there's a scene that looks like this, which is a major cutscene. Not a spoiler, but there's a scene that looks like this where Sephiroth is in that like same sort of position, that area, and it looks that way. So that's one of the homage. I hate that word.
Homage.
Right there, yeah. So, I mean, they show Hero, they show Sonic. So it was definitely well done. The CG, the animation from gameplay to CG was amazing. They're showing you all these different characters, but they don't show you Cloud yet until the music hits. And they know, Sakurai knows that the music hit and people will love it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, I was literally watching other people's reactions, and I only liked the ones that reacted to the music. When people reacted like, to the music, I was like, yes, you get it. And then when people, like, reacted when it said Sephiroth, they're like, oh, I know that guy. And I'm like, get out.
get out. Terrible person. That's how you're
feeling. When were you born? 1996? No.
You ever hear something so beautiful, and then, like, every time you hear it, you're just like, oh. Like, it takes your breath away, or you, like, have that one tear come down. Like, when I heard I was like, the one tear came down. I was like, it's happening again.
I was so upset. I was more upset that I didn't think of Sephiroth being in the game. I had no idea. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's violently evil. Like,
you know what? Well, you know, they said we're not putting any more Final Fantasy characters in. No more representation.
I don't remember that at all. And
they did at one point. Yeah. They're like, they don't want to do any more representation for Final Fantasy. But realistically speaking, I understand that people were probably looking forward to something like maybe Tifa, if it was going to be any character. But we kind of forgot about Sephiroth. And I guess this is kind of like a, yo, you forgot about me, mother, you know what?
Yeah, I'm
back. So I do love a lot of the moveset. It's definitely heavily influenced by Dissidia.
Yeah, actually,
so you
I agree.
See that. Mm-hmm.
And real quick, just we're going to go real fast through it. Forward tilts they show a forward smash. They show a wall cling with a sword. And I'm sure that's like some sort of air move. The taunts are amazing. So they didn't show the stage until like halfway through. He has a shield, basically a counter that is obviously going to be very good. That sword cutting the stage is actually Odin cutting the stage, but they made it look good. So that actually, I think, might be his upbeat.
Are you talking about 132? Are you talking about the one where he cuts the map in half?
Yes, at 120.
Oh, that, okay. 120.
That's actually Odin cutting the stage, but they made it like perfect timed. I think that might be his upbeat or an up air. No, it's just they just another.
They tricked homage. Us, but it was sick.
Yeah. Oh, of course. There is a taunt when he's holding up the sword. So those little dots that he throws around Dark Pit and Link at one part, I think that's Shadow Flare. That might be the Shadow Flare that he put in Final Fantasy Remake or even in Kingdom Hearts 2 and 1, which he uses on Sora. It goes around orbs, you got to use Reflect to reflect them back to him. And then the up smash is just ridiculously large, like Ganon. The stage, the Genova stage, or at least the Northern Crater stage, is amazing. And it looks like it's going to be tournament viable, which is great. They paid attention to that. And then you have the High Wind flowing out. That's crazy. It's probably a stage transition. So Hell's Gate is probably going to be his down air.
I don't know if you peeped it.
What?
But there was some very hella Final Fantasy VII vibes going on at like 130 seconds, 1 minute mm-hmm. and 30 seconds, where he like impels the ground right next to Zelda.
That's exactly
and
what I'm talking about.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, yo, dog, what are you doing?
I know.
Trying to tell us something? Right. Trying to tell us you're killing princesses out here too?
So that move is called Hell's Gate. That's in Dissidia and in Remake. He goes straight down and it does hella damage, obviously.
I'm a call it now.
What?
Hella punishable.
Oh, yeah. Look at there's totally recovery on it, as you see. At the same time, I mean, it does so much damage that you can't get Phoenix downed.
So I feel like he's going to have the install meter kind of like how Cloud has Limit Break. But I feel like he's going to have that install meter kind of like how Joker has his. So I think the One-Wing Angel, obviously, form is going to be the scariest form to deal with because it does access more moves. Just like in many other games, he accesses just a bigger variety of active moves that move him forward in yet.
No, I agree. So I was also watching more of what I don't know who was covering the video. Maybe it was Leffen, no, or I don't know who it was, but somebody slowed it down. Maybe M2K. And if you go to 143, I would recommend slowing it down unless you want to watch Sakurai show the character. And I believe he has Octoslash. It goes in all directions. And this is at about 144. There's a...
All right, I'm going to slow it down.
You're
going
to see an arrow before he does the move to Ike.
Oh, so like he chooses the direction.
Correct. I think he does choose the direction of Octoslash before he does it to Ike.
At 143? Oh, yeah. No, I did see the arrow. That is interesting.
And then he goes and slices and dices.
And he moved it from up to right, so correct.
Yeah. So that might be like a stage, what is it called? When you, I keep forgetting. Oh my god, I'm so out of the element of Smash right now. But
edge guard.
Thank you. I was gonna say stage guard. So then after that, I think he uses Shadow Flare at the very end. Unless I said Shadow Flare earlier with the orbs. Whatever. I think he's just using flare, or maybe it's an enhanced shadow flare that makes that huge explosion, which went into a cutscene, which was amazing looking.
Oh, that was a beautiful transition.
By the way, this whole trailer still has his music playing, which is amazing. And Greninja and Bayonetta get slashed. And then... go ahead.
I'm royally upset.
What's that?
Because I was hoping Mario died.
You're right, because Luigi's already dead in the mansion, right? Or in the castle.
Pretty much.
This guy's castle.
I just felt like it was such a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this would have been perfect for them to give more backstory to characters being like maybe why, Mario gets revived and it becomes like Metal Mario or something like that. Give it story. Like, and they're trying to bring him back. Like, I love stuff like that, but. Look, I'm not harping, right? I think it's just a cool concept. Just don't show me someone getting impaled and you're like, oh, it's on the plumber's shoulder. No, it's Sephiroth. Don't freaking kiddie his... Look,
Don't make him PG-10, right? Or PG. Don't make him PG.
What's funny?
Make him rated R.
Yeah. Well, so he fake stabs Mario. I don't know if you also noticed, there's a couple of frames after Cloud shows up to save Mario that Mario's still on the sword and gets tossed.
You know, I love that they did Omni Slash and in game. They showed him do it going into it, like Advent Children, and then he did it in game. And they even showed the whole command. And then they tried to they did the whole Super Smash Brothers Ultimate X Final Fantasy. And I was like, that was fire. And then they were like, we're not done yet. Give me some more. And I was like, oh, you're gonna talk some smack here, Cloud. I know it.
So obviously, this is those colors that they showed on Sephiroth turning, you know, different colors under his wing was, of course, his final smash. I was supposed to harken back to that. So his final smash is going to have something to do with Safer Sephiroth from the very end of the game, which is cool. It's probably going to have to do with Supernova. As you can see in the background, there's a bunch of little, like, whatever images that you can tell with Supernova.
You know what sucks? We'll none of this. No, go ahead. Use it.
No.
Realistically, unless you're playing amongst friends,
yeah,
competitively, we'll never see it happen, right? Which is fine, right? I get it. But I just love that ending.
Yeah.
He literally tells him, yo, keep your ass in my memories, all right, bro? Mm-hmm. You don't need to be going anywhere outside. He's like, nah. Yeah. I will never be a memory. And then he transforms. And I love that. I think this is probably their best trailer.
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
I
mean,
I couldn't top. I don't think they could top it besides the opening trailer of the game itself, with with their theme song, and just making you really dive and want to be in the universe of Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. And I know we're talking a lot about Smash Brothers, but I always hate watching this game because it makes me always want to go play it.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if it's competitive or not for me. It's just such a fun game. I grew up on it. So, I'm sorry.
No, me and my friends, when they play, they do put on no items, just Smash Balls, just to make it like a little bit fair. And we put like four stock. And it turns out to be fun. Some stages, who cares about like good or bad stages? You know, it's just there to literally have fun. But this character is just going to be tremendous. I hope he's good. I really do. So with that being said, there's going to be a Nintendo Direct this Thursday. Sakurai is going to show, and that's Thursday the 17th of December, where they're going to have a showcase of the character. Make sure to catch that. So we also have another trailer for a different game. You might have heard of it. Meza, what is this game?
So Granblue Fantasy Versus finally came out with their next character. And you know what? The game's been doing fairly well. Since their patch, obviously we've had Dynaphone on the show. He's been doing it big. I was actually watching a stream when Yule actually dropped. Yule's actually super cool. I love her concept. And I'm definitely going to talk to him about getting back on the show for this character. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a lot more about it. But the trailer's really like cheeky, fun. But I don't think it shows her any justice because she's a problem in the game. All right.
Okay.
Having stances, and I just keep looking at her animations, dude. Her standing animations are ridiculously, like, it's like when Dre was talking about how in Guilty Gear, Bridget had all these movements and they're super vivid. And in this game, I watched her just do her, like, stand in her standing animation. It's ridiculous.
It reminds me how fluid this game is.
Oh, yeah. She's probably, if you're looking for getting back into Granblue, she's probably the coolest damn character I've seen yet to date. She reminds me a little bit of Jam with her stances a little bit, and that, like, the fire move that she has come around her. But I love her animations, and she has like the whole flip. There's a character that has that in a different game that I believe Guilty Gear. I mean, I believe Arxis has worked on.
Mm-hmm. Flip like what? Which part of the trailer?
Where she does like the Vega flip that makes her invincible. So I think it's I could tell you it's a little bit of ways. It's a command, so it's about 47 seconds in. She does the EX version, but she can do a normal version too. She is by far, to me, from what I've watched so far in her moveset, seems like the most fleshed out character.
So she reminded me of Colleen and of Slayer.
Okay.
Yeah, Slayer with the dandy step, move back, go back in, move back, go back in. And by the way, that tail, the way it moves, especially in the intro, is like super like fluidity. Like that thing has a mind of its own.
Yeah. I think this is I would have to say Yuel is the character that really drives how unique characters can get in this series of the game. Like we've seen a lot of unique characters from like Noramaya with cancels and stuff like that, but we've seen that before, right? And even with this character, it's not like her moveset's so drastically like outlandish, because we have like Matera, who's straight bow and arrow, and we've had it in other games, but she's essentially like characters from like Persona 4 Arena, Ultimax, and stuff like that. But this character, I feel, gives kind of a fresher breath of fresh air because she has a mixture of a lot of characters' moves, and the animations are so beautifully done. Like, I am really mesmerized by the animations with this game every time I see it. And it's like they only improve every time you see the characters that are new coming out. I only have good things to say about this game.
Yeah, I just haven't played it in a while. This does make it look a little bit more interesting to me again. I did bring my PlayStation over to my PC, so who knows? Maybe on my Friday fighting games, or fighting game Fridays is what I'm calling them on my stream, I'll probably throw this back in there one of these days if I'm not playing too much Marvel. I haven't. I even watched the Cogliostro video again today because I forgot she had coming up too.
So I almost forgot. Because I know we've been talking about new characters and trailers. I had to throw this in there real quick.
Yes.
Because I've been putting in the work to play the character a lot. But the new Power Rangers character.
Oh, yeah. Scorpina. Mm-hmm. Scorpina.
Sorry, you're going to have to go to that link. Scorpina. You're going to have to go to that link. Sorry, yes. I'm not typing it in.
No problem.
But she is the newest characters to Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. I know we're jumping real quick, guys. But... look, this game keeps getting wilder and wilder.
Yeah, I'm not playing that game because I can't block well.
Okay? I'm gonna tell you now. You definitely might not want to play the game after this character.
Oh no, I know. So, I tried her out last Friday and or last Tuesday when she came out. Why does she have a short hop on a run?
I'm glad you noticed that.
And then she has magnetic shockwave. She's really good looking.
So Scorpina has this move where she throws like this green aura into the ground. I don't know if people really knew, but she poisons you, and it does not show the damage on the counter, but it's a lot.
Right.
And she could do it twice in one combo. And so far, I gotta shout out one of the best combo makers for this game as of lately. Which is Arya Mikado. At Arya Mikado, she has been putting in hella work on this character, doing Touch of Depths every day. And might I add, she's been doing Touch of Depths every day, and this character is literally at the point where Touch of Depth, using nothing and no meters, can super twice in one combo. So that should tell you her combos are long as hell. But, you know, she doesn't pack the punch that PJ did when he first came out. I mean, RJ came. When he first came out, but she is the third character in Season Pass 3. So you had Robert RJ James, you had Lauren Sheba, who we obviously knew was kind of busted when she came out. But Scorpina, from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series, good.
Yeah,
she has a lot of tools.
You know what I noticed? Somebody was saying, my friends, Fu and Ron, they were saying, hey, she has a short hop, and I'm like, wait, how? So I was trying it in training mode. I'm like, where does this short hop? And they don't mention it in command list. You have to run and then jump in order to do it.
Yeah, it's like Lauren Sheba's. Right. Like she has a short hop too.
Mm-hmm.
Is
she still good? Did they nerf her to death?
No, she still kills you.
Of course.
I feel like the new wave is. I like what they're doing, where they're giving these characters short hops.
Right.
Like running short hops, they're very ambiguous, and I like that because it makes almost the game system change around how you play it. But I'm definitely noticing these newer characters have bigger moves, more neutral.
Yeah,
and that's good for the game because it's going to flesh out a lot of the let me just get hit and die. Now it's going to be let's play neutral. Even if I get a straight hit, it's going to be hard to convert off of. But hey, I have to get a straight hit, so. Neutral becomes a bigger thing. I like this character. I think she's perfect for this game.
I just wanted to bring that up because why not?
No, that's fine. There's a lot in the fighters corner still to go.
I know, right?
So let's
pump through it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So apparently that WePlay event we talked about last week actually happened for MK11 this weekend. Now, I don't know if we got a chance to catch it. I do maybe want to see the replays because I've been playing a lot of MK lately. But Tekken Master actually did come out on top with Jackie and Jade. Second place was Foxy Grandpa with Sub-Zero, Shiva, and Shang Tsung. Those are some degenerate characters, but that's okay. No, I'm kidding. MK characters. I mean, if you're good with them, you're good with them. Hayate with Fujin in third. Conqueror 249, Sub-Zero. And then Gurr with Garrus. Averk with Scorpion. Dubasik with Cabal. And Azerbaijan with Rain and Sonya. So this was that $60,000 event that Snoop Dogg was also going to watch last week. Apparently, it looks like Foxy Grandpa went... Oh, it looks like there were some group standings. So then they ended up getting... I guess it was like a round robin type thing. And then they ended up getting the top... What is it? 7? 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it was the top 8. So here's the thing. It's definitely taking and implementing that idea from Dragon Ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like the point system. I like the way they do it. And this is like on a smaller scale, obviously. This isn't like we're doing every single region. But I want to go back and watch all of this. I definitely think this is I've talked about it before, that this is a good concept of what they're setting up here. We did bring that up before. And you know what? I got to give it to all the players. These are most of them are notable players. I do see some different names in there. I kind of wonder, though, if this is going to be something that we can continue to see going on. Like, is Mortal Kombat, you know, is NetherRealm's going to kind of start doing this?
Right. Well, this seems like it wasn't straight out of NetherRealm. Remember, we had NetherRealm was actually doing those Latin American tournaments last week. And this week, I believe, was one of the other ones. So they are still doing some of their pro competitions that are happening online that they announced almost only 2 weeks ago. So there are still signups out there that are happening. Definitely check those out if you are into signing up for that. However, also note that there have been patch notes. There was a hotfix recently for many different things that have happened that they needed to fix in Mortal Kombat. But at the same time, first off, go ahead and find those. You can find those on like the official MK11 Mortal Kombat games support.wbgames.com. And there you'll find all the patch notes from the previous months, as well as the one released on December 11th. So, in a few of these, it says move list corrections, improvement to AI logic. Oh, man. No. Adjusted clothing animation on several characters, fixed minor visual and audio issues with several brutalities. So one thing we wanted to talk about is that MK Rio put up a video about how RoboCop is now good with unbanned moves. So before, there were certain combinations that were not allowed because they would either be too cheap or something along those lines. But they actually unbanned it, and I don't know if it was like a shadow unban or something.
Well, from what it sounds like, they were able to be thrown during its hit reaction of his like flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
So they fixed that.
Yep.
And made it feasible for him to be able to now be playable.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure there's obviously actual other hidden maybe shadow patches that we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, because it's what NetherRealm does.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But yeah, right. I mean, I'm all for fixing. I'm all for, you know, characters that don't get love for being able to, you know, use a certain ability now gets to. So it's pretty sick.
And yeah, so basically he's able to do this flame. He's able to have the variation. Now remember, in competitive, like Combat League competitive mode or tournament mode, whatever you want to call it, you can now use any variation you want or any moves you want, custom variations. Now, this means that he gets a flamethrower and the command grab. So apparently flamethrower is sort of like force stance and all of those situations. MK Rio goes into it a lot more than I can. Definitely check his out his page out. It's MKREO, not RIO. So REO. He's a, or Rio MK is actually The same thing.
It's just Hitorio underscore MK. Yeah.
He's a great Mortal Kombat player. He shows a lot of videos from the past and present. Definitely go ahead and check his video out to see the explanation. And he even came out with a recent tier list, and it's quite an interesting path to take. So, real quick, I don't recall if we went over this last week, but it's been about 2 weeks that this information has been out. But we're going to get a trailer on January 7th, a further trailer on January 7th of KOF 15. But a couple weeks ago, we did get a glimpse of the character's artwork. That'll be coming out. Did you get a look at this?
Yeah, I like it. It reminds me of like wallpapers, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like it's like metal stenciling. And I, you know what I like here? I'm gonna try to say his name right. It's like Shishikyo or something like that. Or I'm messing up his name.
Shunai? He is
Shunai. Yeah, thank you, mm-hmm. Shunai. I don't know why I thought Shishi. Man, I've been playing too much old school
or Samurai Showdown or something.
I know, right? But Shunai is actually seems like he's going to be in the game again.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick up from 14 and move forward.
Yeah.
And hopefully go back to that 2D art style that's so sick. Please, please let it go back. But if it doesn't, that's okay. I just want them to use the system or create a new system for 15. That'd be really cool. I'm excited because I already see Benny Morrow. So that means great for me. What's bad is I don't see Iori.
That's so fine. You know, he's like makeshift Neo Geo slash SNK. He has to be in there. Just like K-Dash is already in there, too.
Well, I'm curious to see if we're going to get Geese this time and see if he's going to be kind of like return of the main big boss, even though it'd be a dream battle. It'd be a dream match or a dream battle game at that point.
Right.
Which changes the system of the game. We're going to get like pretty much dream cancels and stuff like that if that's what the case is. But who knows? I mean, honestly, I'm excited. I'm pissed off. I want to see more. They need to throw it to me now. I don't care. Like, I don't care if you know, don't come out for another year or two, but I better have more than a goddamn 20-second trailer. I'm being honest. I don't want to see you do like Kyo throwing flame into the wall and they're like, yeah, you know, and it says always at the bottom, this isn't representation of actual gameplay. Get out of here, man.
Oh man,
that's what they did last time with 14 and I got mad. Yeah. I was like, this is some hot ugly trash,
right? Well, hopefully they're taking the time to put in enough effort post the graphics update of KOF 14. Man, such shade. Okay, I hope it's as hype as KOF 13 was, because those were some amazing grand, you know, EVO finals, top 8. That was just great. It took forever, but it was great. Was it EVO 2013? I believe, yeah. Okay. So, Capcom Cup. No, actually, we're gonna go straight to Dragon Ball FighterZ. Dragon Ball FighterZ East and France finals national championships happened this weekend. This past weekend, I think it was Saturday and Sunday, I caught a glimpse of some of France. Again, I didn't know all the players in there, so I wasn't like fully invested. However, it was very, the matches that I did catch, they were very competitive. They were very interesting. Wah-wah. Yeah.
Wow. All I can say is I did watch that.
Yeah. I don't remember like any of the, like nothing really like stood.
It wasn't like
out
groundbreaking. It was kind of just like, right. Okay.
And I think it was because it was so, I believe it was very one-sided. No, actually it wasn't. That was a problem. Okay, I do remember. It wasn't that it was one-sided. They were so darn competitive. All guys were the same because they were 5-4s, 5-4s, and 5-4s for each three match.
Bunch of 5-2s.
No, 5-4s for all of France. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, so it was Yasha and Gila were the last two. And I believe Yasha was the one that eliminated or that beat Wawa in the round robin. So that was that was a match that everybody wanted to see. But then Wawa beats Yasha 5-4, just barely. And these, like again, these matches were all close. It was more about who had the stamina, who had the ability to just keep on going. So that was the hard part. And then Kaiden, of course, unfortunately losing to also Wawa. But these names, you know what I really do like about these, like maybe they already had a name for themselves in their country, and maybe we weren't watching already. But now that they have an even bigger name, so when all this pandemic stuff is over and they come out here, we're all going to be like really well versed in how they play and be able to say, oh no, I like this guy more. I don't know if you saw this, but this guy can beat this guy. Like, I really do like that about this tournament.
I mean, that happened at Evo when we went last time in 2019.
Yeah.
19. Mm-hmm. It was 19, right? Yeah. When we went in 2019, we really didn't know anything about Shanks. Shanks kind of like exploded onto the scene.
Yeah, that was 18, I think. Because then in 19, he beat Chris that was 18, G at Combo Breaker in 2019. Yeah. Because he was with 18, with 20, oh God, so many 18 and 19s. With Android 18, he beat Chris G really bad.
Shanks came out really explosive. I do remember that. And that's big, you know, that's what makes it really nice when you don't know what's out there. It's like a unexplored world. But now that we can kind of see it a little bit more, you know, and we don't know still. There might still be some people who are underrepresented that are big names over there still, just not as big. But they hold their own. So it's cool to see that we can kind of get some newer faces, some familiar old faces that just started breaking in. And we see opportunity for some of these other ones that we're going to come to, you know, come to like and love over time. Just like how you look at Yipes, people are like, man, yo, Yipes still, man, when he gets on MVC2, he's still so nice. Like, I love watching him. It's stuff like that that's going to build these players over time, because they're gonna have that history now,
right? And I believe there was one match, I don't know if it was from, I think it was still the France one, but one of the matches was a reverse, like four from down, from being down 4-1, it was a reverse like four straight, and I don't remember, I think it was right in the middle, I think it was the Wawa and Yasha match, or even the Yasha and Gila. Like, they were that competitive. Like, it was pretty good. Like, if you're a fan of those guys, you were probably on the edge of your seat just with like how much they were going. Now with the USA East, I'm sure you are more familiar with these players as well. Tell us about that. Did you get to catch that too?
Honestly, I've been kind of like busy with a lot of things. That's so okay. Dragon Ball hasn't been on my radar. I kind of catch. Honestly, I catch a lot of Twitter feeds and a lot of like highlights of the matches.
Right,
and they're kind of like, I guess because I'm so used to seeing Dragon Ball in the States.
Yeah.
It's all kind of like, I follow people like Dakil Sage. I follow people like Cooking God. So being someone who's followed them, I kind of know what they're doing when I'm watching their streams and, you know, they do play each other sometimes and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this isn't something new to me. This is like, there's nothing groundbreaking. So I'm always looking, trying to look at the international scene, because that's where we don't really always get the most information. True. But I don't know. I mean, Hooking God beating the Kill Sage is like another day to me.
So here's the funniest part. So actually, yes, that did happen. But Nitro Bros actually took the entire thing. The worst part is that I saw, oh snap, the Kill Sage just said he was about to get ready for his match. I go into like to watch Twitch, and I didn't notice that it was like a couple hours ago already. I go in to watch it on Twitch, and it says, "Congrats, Nitro Bros." I'm like, damn. Do I just watch it all again or no? Like,
you're just sad. You're like, all right.
I wanted to know. So it was a Nitro Bros in first, then Hook, then Kill Sage, then Double L. Now the cool part about it is Nitro Bros, not saying that Nitro Bros was like the upset, but he came from the third place.
Well, keep in mind, he is considerably right now the best Dragon Ball player. From what they said, he was one of the best Dragon Ball players, at least in New York, and most people don't want to cross paths with him. He is very, very solid over there.
Yeah.
So for him to win that, I'm kind of not surprised, because when it matters the most, he really does step up to the plate. And I've actually watched Nitro Bros play continuously on Coach Steve's stuff, and watching him beat Steve so consistently sometimes.
Yeah,
and beat some of the other players. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, Nitro Bros is the real deal. He is no joke.
Right.
Especially, you know, you have people from Bum's House that play the game religiously too, are saying Nitro Bros is definitely the number one representation for New York, at least.
Wow.
And obviously there's other players, but he definitely has cemented himself. And hey, I'm not surprised. They actually said they were
they wouldn't be surprised if he won.
So something else is that oh my goodness, and it went away, but that's okay. I have another thing to say. If you want to check out some of the highlights of like very hype moments, check out JM Cross. He actually is doing like a top five hype moments from like every weekend. Check out some of his clips. He's got he just does commentary about like five hype moments, maybe moments that made your jaw drop or made you be like, oh snap, I didn't expect that to happen. Check his YouTube out. It's JM Crofts. I follow him. I'm subbed him on YouTube. Very good explanation of videos. Now, next week is the last tournament, the standings or playoffs, the last set of playoffs for Japan. And it's Goichi, Fenrich, Kazunoko, and Banbaban. Dre says he likes Kazunoko. I actually like Goichi. I don't know where this can go. Goichi's at 7-0. Fenrich is at 6-1. Kazunoko's 5-2. And Banbaban's at 4-3. I don't know where it can go, but I'm looking forward to whatever character they're going to be announcing afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Here's my take on that.
Go on.
I don't care about the character that they announce next.
Ah.
I think that other games have done more justice to their game lately, and Dragon Ball has been kind of lackluster.
What do you mean?
I would say after Kefla, I just haven't really been intrigued by some of the other characters. Even UI Goku, like, he intrigued me for a bit, but I was like, yeah, he's kind of boring. Master Roshi is cool, but like I said, it's not a character for me, so I'm not going to be like, I'm not saying he's bad.
Oh, he's amazing.
No, and I'm not talking about in the sense of like character, how good you are.
Yeah.
I'm saying as in like the interest, right?
Yeah.
There are characters out there that have still yet to be picked up and like cemented in this game. Dude, that we're waiting for.
I just want Majin Vegeta.
I just want Picon.
Really?
Yes. I'm not asking for Nail. I'm asking for Pecan. All right?
Yeah.
My man's from hell. My man got hell, fire, super moves. Like, I think he would be a really cool addition, right? But not only that, I'm a big fan of the things that were not canon to become canon.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah, I would love if BoJack became a canon thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's Galactic those are cool
Warriors.
Things to me.
The Galaxy
Where's
Warriors?
Deborah?
Yeah, I really would like Deborah. Like, he should have been in this. Now, but at the same time, you know, I was saying, yeah, why not put Deborah? But then if you're going to put Deborah, then why not Dodoria? No. Or even Zarbon.
I mean, look, we got the Ginyu Force. I think we got enough, like, jokey characters who are actually dope as hell in the game.
Yeah.
But they would be a pair. You know what I mean? Zarbon and, you know, Dodoria would be a pair.
Right.
But realistically, I do want to see some more characters that are a little bit outside of their scope. Like, I would like to see Choppa. You know, I think Choppa was a pretty cool...
I think that's more likely.
Choppa?
Yeah. I
didn't
watch.
He's a really cool concept of a character. We're still waiting for Whis or Weiss, however you guys want to name
most of these characters were in... I mean, these three that were announced this year have been in the Tournament of Power. So,
yeah,
there might be another Tournament of Power. It could be Topo. It could be the rabbit dude. Yeah, Whis, yeah, so, or even I mean, the clown guys. I don't know.
You're talking about the heartfelt universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? People do want to see them. So I don't know. I just want to not see another replication of a character. Don't give me like Super Saiyan 3 Goku, or you know, don't give me. Don't give
we
me.
We do have three Vegetas.
Don't give
you're
me
right.
teen go. Don't give me teen. Gotenks or some shit like that.
Give me
or...
Super Trunks. Like Trunks without the jacket.
Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. Wait, you mean buff super like
buff super
trunks,
trunks,
buff trunks.
Well, not the trunks. Slow trunks from like Fight and Cell.
No, I like that one.
But like long hair. I just don't need a Trunks with the jacket. I think Trunks
You're
with the jacket
the
is a jerk. I actually dislike Trunks, but we could get another Trunks. I'm cool.
No. Super Trunks would be dope because he fights differently. He doesn't really use the sword as much.
Yeah, he also has his own song.
Yeah, that song.
Mm-hmm. So I'm down for that. Just saying.
But if I was to decide, as you said, it's Goichi, Fenrich, Kazunoko.
Yeah, back to the results.
I have always been a fan of Fenrich.
Same.
Since day one.
And since Blaze Blue.
Still sticking with it. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still sticking with it. I think Finrich is going to top out here. I think he is the only one who realistically, outside of Kazunoko, is playing Cell. And Kazunoko plays like everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Finrich is the premier Cell player, in my opinion. I think he has the right the right shell.
He's got the right
Cell
stuff.
GT Goku. He has it. He has the essence of Cell, man. The cockiness, the bravado, even though he's not that type of person, when you actually talk to him, he's a really nice person. I would love to see Finrich win this. I think it's long overdue. Kazunoko's already won something. Goichi's already won something.
Mm-hmm.
Bam Bam, sorry, you're not in the same league. It's okay. And I think you're a good player, but Finrich, it's time. Get your title, bro. Go get your title.
It's going to be hype. I can't wait, really.
I'm going to really
watch this. Yeah. This is going to be fun. Nice little early holiday gift. Let me see. So, with that being said, last thing in the Fighters Corner is Street Fighter V's Capcom Cup 2020 community vote is actually going to be ending very soon on the 18th. So keep a lookout for that and go ahead and vote in there. Right now, who is winning in the voting is, who do you think?
No, I already looked, so it's like cheating.
Too late. Okay, so
I wouldn't have guessed this stuff.
Last time it was actually Tokido and Zenith when we last talked about it. This was back in the first week we talked about it. Now, in first place is actually Luffy with 17,582 nominations. No. Second place is Zenith, which is very hype. That is at 13,069. And then Tokido at 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Legit, my man's Luffy was like, yo, nobody saw this coming, but I told all of my country to freaking
seriously
vote for me. And you know what? I'm going to give him a nomination because I think, honestly, yeah. I would like to see Luffy actually get an opportunity to get in there. Yes, guys, you know my vote. Unfortunately, you're not supposed to probably know nominations or votes, but I don't care. It posts on Twitter anyway. And poor JB. I'm sure I can nominate more. I personally don't mind voting in Luffy. He's a Rose player. I would like to see what happens in the future if he can win and become a champion again, and you know, maybe say, hey, I want to hold off and vote for and make a Rose costume. I would love that. I'd be ready for it. But I still wanted to see like my boy Hot Dog make it in, man. I thought Hot Dog is the, you know, he's the fire. If not, you know, John Takeuchi, you know, fire. JB, damn, dude, you got 94. I guess that you ain't sucks, marketing man. Yourself right.
Yeah, I
see
don't know.
The speed stick, the water, and some Hanson.
He's even got a commercial out there too. Sorry,
yeah, he's trying. You know, he's trying. But you know, I'm happy to see people are supporting all these different people. And you know what? If Tokido doesn't make it this year, it's okay. I think it's still gonna be a pretty freaking hype Street Fighter 5 Capcom Cup 2020.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And of course, you got Punk, no, a little behind at 9,800.
Are they doing it like they did for, I believe it was either, I think it was Dragon Ball when Lord Knight got voted in that one time? Was that Guilty Gear? I can't remember.
I don't remember. What are you talking about?
I think it was Dragon Ball. When they did the votes for Worlds that one year, I think it was.
I don't recall.
They did this voting system, and they went down to like the last three.
Oh,
they kept going down and down, like where they were
the tournament, the Summit of Power.
Yes, Summit of Power.
Mm-hmm.
In order for him to get in, so I wonder if they're gonna do it like that, or if they're just gonna straight up like one shot. Like, hey, Luffy already got it; he's done. He's in.
No, it's whoever gets the most votes.
One and done.
Yeah, it says it on the top. Fine. Yeah, it says it on top.
I do like Summit of Power the way they did theirs, but hey, this is still cool. You know?
Right. It says each player receives a unique. Well, okay, nominations will be open. Okay, it's already open. I'm just reading through. Each player receives a unique tweet button. Each tweet counts as a vote. Limit one per Twitter account. And the player with the most votes. The player with the most Twitter nominations by Friday, December 18th at 2 p.m. Pacific time will join Capcom Cup 2020. And right now it's looking like Luffy. And Zenith was in the lead, actually, when we last talked about it, not Tokido. And Zenith had a lot. He's from Brazil and uses Minot. So if you want to see some Mennat action, go ahead and vote Zenith. If you want to see some more Luffy, go ahead and... Armika, go ahead and vote Luffy. Oh, boy. It's quite close.
I voted it. Why not?
Yeah, 4,000 votes away. Can Zenith get that in the next couple of days? Who knows? We'll see. So that is going to wrap up the Fighter's Corner. That was a long corner, man. I don't know what's on the other side, but here we are in the randoms of the FGC. And something that came out, actually, some of these were a little bit like a week ago, but that's okay. MK 2021 movie logo on HBO Max is out. Actually, you know what? Funny enough, there's an update to this story. We actually got a release date today. Today they released or showed another poster of a release date, and we're getting this in April 2021 to HBO Max.
That's what's up. Right. I like that.
But we're not getting a trailer. Maybe we'll get a trailer tomorrow. That'd be cool.
I wonder if it's going to be animated or if it's going to be like legit non-animated. You know, cuz like I like live action, and it's always been like a nice little tribute and cool, like, oh man, video game to, you know, live action usually sucks. But between that and Street Fighter, it's like a classic. So I wonder if they're just going to keep it animated. I don't know. I kind of want to see it just animated, maybe.
No, it's just not just animated. Just to preserve it. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you've got these people that are actually, you know, I'm looking on their IMDb, and you've got all these characters in here already. I mean, I would actually be more comfortable seeing a trailer right now. So hopefully we get that. I mean, if they're going to show, by the way, it says April 16th of 2021. If they're going to be sending this out in 4 months already, 5 months from today, then yeah, we're going to need some sort of trailer very soon. I'm sure if this was...
Within a month.
Yeah, like if we were going to watch like Wonder Woman this month, I mean, Wonder Woman does come out this month on HBO Max. And if we're going to get like, if we were to get Wonder Woman, let's say in the theaters, there would be a Mortal Kombat trailer coming out. So apparently we have a Liu Kang already cast too. That's Ludie Lin. I don't know who that is. I don't know any of these people actually.
I mean, you know what? I think it'll be cool to just be going into it like blind a little bit.
Yeah.
And just see how it turns out. You know, I kind of would like to not have, I would like to have a trailer and then the movie like the following, you know, year or whatnot or month,
mm-hmm.
or like at least 2 or 3 months later. That's cool. I'll take it. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to treat it like Monster Hunter movie where I'm like, this is going to be complete garbage because it's made by the Resident Evil people. So thank you for that. You've ruined my experience as Monster Hunter player. But hey, you know what? It's Mortal Kombat. I can't be, it's a fighting game. So whatever the storyline is, I could care less. But I would like NetherRealms to be involved with really writing this one.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the writer is for NetherRealms, I'm going to look into it and find out. Pretty sure Dre would know if he was here. But
yeah,
that's who needs to write this movie. Even if right. It's too hard.
And you know, they even said that they use some of the like lore from the Mortal Kombat movie, the first movie, into the game. Because the movie was so good and went so well with the game. I mean, they even used all of this stuff in the crypt in Mortal Kombat 11. Like, it was so well done that they use it some more. So, who knows? Maybe this will add into it. I don't know. It is directed by James Wan. So, I believe his stuff is good. I don't remember exactly what he is. Let me see. Is this a producer? Conjuring 2, Saw, Fast Furious 7, Aquaman. Oh, there you go. Aquaman was hella tight. So, again, that's producing. I don't know if it was directing or not. Oh, yeah, he was a director of Aquaman. So there you go. I have been off the boat for some movies for a while now. I'm usually good with that stuff, but they're not going to the movies lately. Or at all. So with that being said, this was something we didn't cover last week, but Microsoft has acquired Smash.gg. What could this mean? Meza, do you know what this could mean?
Yes, my good sir. Okay, this could mean many, many different things. So So, okay, look, you got to keep in mind a few big things. Microsoft has been making a lot of big moves.
Yes.
And with Microsoft tied to Facebook Gaming, we might start seeing some accessible things with Smash.gg getting an updated look. That's the first thing. There's going to now be more money behind Smash.gg. And we're probably going to see a proper app, because that's so damn long overdue.
Oh my gosh, but, I 100% agree.
Yeah, it's so long overdue. So hopefully that's the first step, is an app. But we might start seeing live streams being put on here, so we could kind of visually see the game when we go see something that's in progress, right? So like right now I can see Smash Bowl. I already see that everything's been updated, all right? So on the front page of Smash.gg, it's like Smash.gg has been acquired by Microsoft. What does that mean? Since we started in 2015, our goal has been to build active esports scenes around the games people love to play. Today, we're excited to take the next step in that journey by joining Microsoft to help strengthen our existing relationship and explore new opportunities. Smash.gg will continue as a self-service esports platform available to tournament organizers from all gaming communities. If you have any questions about existing tournaments, please reach out to obviously blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing.
Yes.
Two things that scare me. The first thing that scares me is they stated, yes, they will continue as a self-service esports platform. But they left out the part where they're getting backed by Microsoft, which means Microsoft has to have some say in this. Microsoft doesn't really care about, and this is me being wholeheartedly, they don't care about XYZ money in esports community. To them, they don't care about that unless they have their name plastered on something that's bigger, right? But Smash.gg has people flow through this website nonstop. Millions of people, I'm sure. Like, I'll just say thousands, right? At least over 100,000 people flow through this website, because this has more than just fighting games. It has shooters. It has other things. The thing with that being said, Microsoft makes funding, or at least money off of this, due to the fact that they'll probably put any form of, hey, Microsoft is connected to this. So guess what? You will be relinked to something on Microsoft eventually at one point. We may not see it now, but Microsoft now has their fingers and toes in all of it. And what that means to me that scares me is, how much money realistically is being put into Smash.gg now that Microsoft's behind it, and how much control they have over it? Those are the two things that scare me. Because if they're putting so much money into it, they could easily just buy out Smash.gg or make Microsoft.gg. And guess what? If Microsoft.gg has everything and flows better and has an application, I'm switching. I don't like Microsoft. I don't want to support them like that. But hey, if they're going to be the platform for all my games, by all means, like I said, Facebook Gaming, good example. Microsoft's already tied in with that because Mixer and everything like that. So you're getting technically the best of both worlds, but we still got to keep an eye on Smash.gg to see where it goes.
All right. No. Yeah. Noted. So real quick, we only have a little bit left, but in the randoms, I want to talk about Nintendo real quick. They've been doing a lot of sort of like cease and desist type things. So real quick on off of Invent Hubs, Top Splatoon 2 team quits official tournament to create their own in protest after Nintendo reportedly cancels stream due to the use of the free melee hashtag. Apparently now they're just competing over $10,000 instead of trophies, instead of only trophies. So just reading this news article here, finals. Now, again, we're talking about Splatoon 2 because this sort of also coincides with the Melee event that was canceled a couple weeks ago by Nintendo directly. Finals for, or I guess a cease and desist type thing. Finals for Splatoon 2 North American Open December tournament were originally scheduled to take place that day. But that is no longer the case, with players picking up their controllers and taking their talents to a new venue. Top four teams that made it to the finals dropped out of the official event after reports that Nintendo canceled their planned live stream coverage due to many players signing up with the hashtag Free Melee hashtag and other Pro Smash Brothers community names in protest to the company's recent actions, forcing the big house to shutter their event. I don't know what to say. Because one thing is that Nintendo is good at is they don't want their sort of name and I guess this official stuff sort of in relation to any sort of like trolling. So I kind of respect them for trying to keep themselves sort of like clean, I guess you could say. But at the same time, you know, where's, I think they need to describe exactly where the line is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have a lot of feeling about this.
Yeah.
And it sucks because Nintendo just doesn't get it, man. I don't know if it's like a bunch of boomers who are like the old, or maybe even past that generation,
mm-hmm.
or older, and they're just like, we make video games for kids. Why right. should we cater or pander to these teenagers and adults that are competing? They don't really matter. But that's, well, you know, I've watched every single, I've watched every single stream, every single YouTube video.
Yeah.
Well, mostly.
Yeah.
I've watched, you know, from Hungry Boxes to Leffens to, mm-hmm. I forgot his name.
By the way, Hungry Boxes' reaction to Sephiroth was hilarious. But go on. Mm-hmm.
But I watched so many people in this community
yeah.
just feel so bad because every time Smash gets even close to being a proper esport,
mm-hmm.
that, and it's not like they're not. I think they're definitely not a proper esport by now. They're at the League of Legends level, I believe. Maybe not the money wise, maybe not, you know, the investments wise, but they've definitely pushed to get noticed and be on that level with Rocket League and all of them and be in the same category at least. Maybe right. they're the lower end, but they're right. there. And it sucks because, look, I know Melee is an old game. And I know it sucks for, you know, Nintendo to not want to support this game, but look at MVC2.
Well,
Yipes,
mm-hmm.
Yipes doesn't get any support from, you know, Marvel or Capcom. But the beautiful thing is the game can still get that, you know, exposure and it still brings more to them. And my thing is this. At the end of the day, it sucks because now it's affecting other games. It's affecting Splatoon. It's affecting Smash Ultimate. Why is this a thing? Why are you sending out cease and desist to people who aren't really even making money off your video game? They own the product. It's like a DMCA, right?
Well,
you know,
I think
a DMCR. That, so
no, you're right. Yeah. Well, I think the issue is that they are, you know. They may already have like the fine print and saying, please do not associate anything sort of Nintendo licensed to this. And I say that because we bring up the controllers that were the Etika controllers. Apparently, there was also a cease and desist for that. Apparently, and they were donating the proceeds towards suicide prevention, which is a great thing to That's send awesome. It towards. However, I believe there was the cease and desist from using the likeness, or not even the likeness, but the words Joy-Con and Nintendo were actually what was the reasoning for their cease and desist. Now, if they hadn't, or now again, that's again more fine print stuff, which is definitely something else. But at the same time, I think what Nintendo is basically saying is that, you know, can you just try to read by the rules? I think the guy was also trying to work well with them. At the end of the day, though, you know, I think it's also Nintendo saying, hey, we don't want to, they're not going to tarnish their image from it. But sadly enough, I think they're just going to be like, listen, Nintendo, us basically can survive without the small
yes.
audience of this community, which is sad, but they're not going to go away. They have the handheld system. They have handhelds for years. They've won that thing. So
here's the thing.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah,
with like 90% of that.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think they're a big company. They're AAA company. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
But realistically, you can't keep telling people, don't play my game. Imagine if I made a game and I said, hey, guys, you really like my game a lot. Hundreds of thousands of people want to play my game. Guess what? You're not allowed to ever show people that you're playing my game. So we can never know you're having fun with my game. That sounds ridiculous. That's and that's the realistic part mm-hmm. that I get where the Smash players are coming from. Look, I'm not the biggest super Melee head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had my game shut down multiple times from
MVCI to UMVC3, not getting any support. I know what it's like. I've had Pokin not get any goddamn support. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's like to the degree that they've gotten hit with. And I know if I didn't like what I was dealing with Pokin, at least with Pokin, mm-hmm. then damn for sure, Nintendo sending a cease and desist for Smash, which is twice as big as anything in the FGC usually, realistically speaking, if we're not including Tekken and Street Fighter together, Smash is bigger. We've seen it in the Evo results where they have 2K, you know, entrants. We've seen it when they have more viewership. We've seen it when they've had more people show up to the damn venue and then leave and empty out the venue.
Yeah.
That should say something. And at the end of the day, look, I can harp on about this. I could say, you know, Nintendo's an evil corporate company, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to say it's just wrong when people can't just enjoy playing the games and people can't compete and enjoy showcasing their skill that they put the time into these games. And as a competitor, I would hate to be told you're not allowed to enjoy the game at the highest level and perform and entertain for people who love you, what you do, and want to get into it. And I think that's just fucked up. Excuse me, pardon my French. It is. So I'm passionate about that, and I could go on for days, but I'm going to stop there.
Yeah,
I definitely am down with the hashtag Free Melee.
Okay.
And this has nothing to do with our podcast. Right. This has nothing to do with whether Dre is in it or you're in it. I am 100% behind this because it's just wrong. Just flat out.
Yeah, that is perfectly fine. I mean, yeah. like, what can you say? It's just all video games and, you know, we keep on going.
Yeah,
what is this, man? Oh, wait, right. This just in. Hold on. This just in. I just got an email that we just got cease and desisted. But no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that would be the great start right here, right?
So, yeah, Meza can't be on the show anymore. No, let me stop.
Dude, trust me, they'd get a worse podcast from me by myself. They wouldn't like it. They wouldn't like me, trust me.
What?
Nintendo would have such a problem with me.
What is this very nice indie game you got for me?
So, you know, funny enough, Lost Ghost Boy, of course, Lost Ghost Boy, Lost Ghost Arcade. Did I do that right? Did I say it right?
Yes, yeah. Lost Arcade Customs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, thank you, Lost Arcade Customs.
Yep.
He brought to my attention
yes
a very, very awesome game that I love this guy's work. Rare Breed Dev on Instagram, also known as Markarot, mm-hmm. GC. It's M-A. RKARotgc on Twitter. If you guys are, if you just go to his Instagram at Rare Breed Dev, he is a solo developer, and it looks like at first he's working in Mugen, but no, this guy is developing his own stuff. It is so awesome to see what he's doing. He has a really cool combo system going. He has a really cool concept. I actually subscribe to him today as officially as a Patreon, and I actually want to get him on the show to talk about this game because we don't really always get to talk to indie developers because usually they just stop working on something mm-hmm. or they slow down tremendously, especially with COVID. But this guy's full force. He's trying to pump out as much as he can, you know, while working and having a normal life too. But he designed all his characters, it seemed, from scratch. He has over, I think, 8 characters in it now. I think it's about, so let me go to the Patreon for a second.
Mm-hmm.
He has about, in total, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 characters that are officially in the game designed and revealed so far. And I don't know, man. The character, it reminds me of like Yatagarasu.
I remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The style of art a little bit meets some more detail as hell art style, man. This guy has a really cool concept here. He's made an intro video stuff. He's putting in the work. Obviously, I would like to see his UI get a little bit more fancy. But the music is dope as hell. This guy is really putting in work. And when you see like his main character is like a Ryu-esque looking kid. Yeah. That's like skinny, but he has like the Ryu look to him.
Yeah, a little, so it's really like, cool. Sort of like a Little Mac type of vibe too, right? Is that the main character? A little bit, the blue-haired guy? Yeah. I like the look. I do like the way the game looks. It looks very nice, very polished as well. It looks like that word again is coming, fluid. One of the things I do like down in his Instagram is that he writes, if Rival Schools was made in 2D back in the days, that would have been epic. And he shows a little sprite. I don't know if he made it of Akira, but it's a pretty nice looking sprite of Akira. As it might be a little bit of a teaser for what we might get in Street Fighter 4. I mean, 5. Wow, look at me. Street Fighter 5, that'd be kind of cool. But no, this is a really great Rare Breed Dev over on Instagram. Go check him out. Maybe even follow his Patreon like Meza has just now. Also,
Go ahead. I was just going to state real quick for the record, he's also been working on another game, so that's pretty cool too. But this is his main project right now, next to his Rival Schools concept project that he's also working on. This guy's... I'm sorry.
Nice. He is good.
I'm hyped for him. I'm actually waiting for him to... If you actually do... and by no means, he's not sponsoring us or anything, but if you were to subscribe to his Patreon and you were to do the $10 one, or I believe it's the $5 one, either one, you do receive the demo of the game. Ooh. I have to actually ask him to send it to me, so I'm going to get the first playable demo. And I will let you guys know 100% what I think of it. I'm already excited. Maybe I'll see if he'll allow me to stream it. Or, you know, just take it a little bit further for him, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we out there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to see. But I think you guys will like it. Maybe I'll throw it on in the Discord and see if we can do, if he allows me to parsec it or something like that.
Yeah. Shout out to Lost Ghost Boy for shouting that out to us, too. Anyway, it's a very close friend of mine. So real quick, Rob TV put out a video a couple weeks ago. This is just going to be a real quick blurb of Punk and Strider when they were backstage at the, what was the event?
This was at SFL League.
Yes, Street Fighter League. And apparently they got into close, not fisticuffs, but almost. I mean, you almost saw G and Karen out there, but apparently they got some throwing hands type of language, type of talk. And then it's just very funny out of the characters of these two players. And then you got Item in the back just sitting there like, I don't care.
It's like nephew, it's like, well, I just want to watch my show.
Right. So explain to me what was happening here. Did you know I started?
So actually, yeah, I did. So I'm going to do a little bit of referencing and jumping back and forth. And I'll give you guys a little tidbit. If you guys want to actually watch a really good breakdown on this, Go check out Button Check. You know, Ernesto is a really good guy. He definitely, you know, puts out some good content. Go check that out. You'll definitely see a lot more. He does a funny thing, all right? But the way it was broken down, the way it is Rob TV was backstage recording, and Punk was all like, yo, Punk talks. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stop myself.
Why not?
I'm the best. You know what I'm saying? I can't do it right now. It's I have to hear his voice. But all I'm saying, he was like,
beat him with any character.
Yeah, I'm the Alpha Omega. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna get bodied.
Yeah, I know. But like, here's the thing. Punk was like, look, dude, you're trash. He's like, he used some profound words to instill anger into 801 Strider, who clearly 801 Strider was like, yo, the light was in my eyes, blah blah blah, right? Because that was like the first time. But he said to Punk, but 801 Strider said to Punk, he was like, yo, you're out there complaining about the light being in your eyes. He was like, yeah, there's a big ass blue light in my eyes, or red light, or whatever. He's like, I'm trying to play the game. I want to be under the best circumstances to beat everybody. But he's like, I'll still beat everybody. Because he's like, ain't nobody on your team messing with me. He's like, who's the best in the world? And 801 Strider is like, he's sitting on the couch. And he's like, yo, Capcom Cup is the biggest, you know, Street Fighter event? Are you serious? What about Evo? Rest in peace, Evo, because you are not the biggest event anymore. So, you know, Punk did state that nobody could see him unless it's like Tokido. Which My opinion is a little ludicrous, a little crazy to say, but hey, he does back it up. And let's just say, in the heat of the moment, Punk was like, yo, you a female dog. And A1 Strider was like, them fighting words. And A1 Strider was like 10 times his size, right? In my head, at least. So he walks up to him. He's like, yo, you trying to like throw blows. And then, of course, security kind of like got in between it. But they're still shit talking each other. And, you know, Punk's like, yo, how about we run it right now for $1,000? And A1 Strider's like, nah, I'm good. I'll see you when we play where it matters in tournaments. And that just stirred more stuff. But yeah, that's kind of where it's at right now. And I truly believe that I wish that 801 Shredder would have fought Punk.
Oh my God.
I would have been a enabler. Like, could you imagine if I was there? I would have like, yo, I would have been like that, like, listen. You know how like you have the angel and the demon or devil on each side of your shoulders?
Oh yeah.
And like cartoons, I would have been like the devil, and I was like, come on, 801 Strider, you know you want to snatch him by the neck.
Listen, on his shoulders are G and Abel, both snowball characters. It's like,
he would have seen him snowball kicking Punk.
Step kicking him, knocking him down, and doing both command grabs on him. But still, at the same time, Punk does have a point. He's like, dude, I was like second place at Evo. I just don't have an Evo. That's it. And I was like, And then Strider also was like, man, I got nothing to say. You're kind of right.
Well, I mean, 801 Strider said it the best. He was like, but did you win Evo? He was like,
I don't need to.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong, but he's wrong. Like, you're not the best in the world, all
right? Right.
Clearly, I mean, Tokido is, but people have beaten Tokido.
We all clearly know that if Punk put his mind to it and didn't think so much about it, he can actually do it. But at the same time, Gustavo, 801 Strider is not a slouch either. Like,
but he ain't doing too hot in this Street Fighter League. That's all I'm gonna say.
Punk
made it very clear. He said, "I'm better than all of you on your team. I will pretty much wax that ass like a little baby." And I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So I do give it to Punk. You know, he held his ground. Well, and I hate saying it, but it's the truth. He
you know who beat him once?
He backed his talk.
Do you know who beat him once? And when he picked random and I had to pick Laura? Oh, me. That's only one time though.
But you know, yeah. I do think that this kind of brings back that old school FGC feel. And that's why I'm excited about it, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh man, people are shit talking again. And it's in the esports, you know, I guess, atmosphere. And people are used to it not being there. We're used to it being grassroots FGC. Now FGC is in the esports, and esports, you know, are like, whoa, we got to get somebody in between this. And we're like,
yeah,
but no. Because, you know, I want to see how it really plays out. But, you know, obviously we're going to see them play it out the proper way, people,
right,
which we do condone, which is playing it in the set and running the set like Punk kept saying, just run the set then. So hopefully we'll see what happens when they run the set in the tournament for Street Fighter League. And I don't know, I would have been laughing because Idon was just sitting there like, whatever, man.
Yeah, right. Put your masks on and leave me alone.
He's like, Golden Girls are on. Yeah. Right. Goodbye.
Right. Jeez. Y'all should be socially distanced, not arguing.
I know, right? Nobody wearing masks.
There was
or
a dude
anything.
In the back wasn't wearing masks. He's just like one of the security guys. Like, I ain't going there. But no, it's hey,
it's,
you know,
still hostile
environment.
Right,
and this was probably like months ago. Wait, it wasn't. They filmed it already, right?
They filmed it. This was a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Because I remember when we had Smug on the show. He was just coming back or something like that. I don't know.
I think they film at least like 2 to 3 episodes every few weeks just to get some content out, and then they'll fly him back out, I'm pretty sure. Because he did say he had to go there, he was going back out.
So that is probably
how that played out.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I got a community question for you guys. Yep. It's pertaining a lot more to the indie companies. For me, I'm not going to answer it. Obviously, we're not going to answer it this week. We're going to throw it in Discord.
Yep.
But what does everyone think of indie companies providing us with more fighting games during quarantine? Is it a win or forcing oversaturation? This is something that we don't really talk about enough. And I know indie games, we always love them. But are they too much?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just good for us? Like, with netcode and everything being kind of a prominent thing now. Is this going to help the community, the fighting game community, stay more in touch, stay more, you know, connected?
Right. All right. Yeah. Well, and we'll throw that into the Discord if you haven't already seen it by now while you're listening to us. But we'll throw it in the Discord. And that's going to do it for the show today. We're going to mix up this this exit of the podcast. But thank you so much for listening. We're going to call it there. We're going to land this plane. And just check us out on our social medias. Meza, where can they find you?
You guys can, of course, find me at MezaFGC, whether it's on Twitter, YouTube, or even Twitch.
That's correct. And you can find me, Static Gorilla, on all platforms now. I have made a new Instagram so that I made the old one a little bit more personal, whereas the Static Gorilla is now the Static Gorilla one, where you can find most of the tweets and Twitch links, things like that, especially on Twitter, just Static Gorilla, one word, S-T-A-T-I-C-G-R-I-L-L-A, and on YouTube. You can also follow the MASH Network at the MASH Network on Twitter as well, and on all platforms. Come and join the conversation on Discord. It is discord.me/mashthosebuttons. And we just wanted to let you know that you can hear us on all podcast platforms of your choice, and definitely leave reviews and things of that nature. Just always share. Meza, anything else that I'm missing?
Yes, don't forget, guys, to also double tap FGC. Follow us on Twitter for when we actually just randomly post or put up new content or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that is very, very important, guys. And yeah, I mean, encourage you guys to very much get people to listen, right? We're not telling you got to tell everyone, but just pick one person for the day that might like fighting games, might be interested, might have never heard that there's a fighting game community out there and, you know, like fighting games, or maybe they're just looking for a new hobby. This might be it for them. So definitely make sure you guys get out there and share the love. And yeah, that's all I can really ask for.
If you got a long drive, you can listen to my voice. No.
Oh, yeah. ASMR Static Gorilla.
Oh my gosh, no. So just stay tuned after the show to hear about the rest of our other shows. And again, just share, comment, and who knows, maybe you'll get even a shout out on the show with sharing if we've done good, done bad. Just let us know how we're doing. Really appreciate you guys listening and sharing throughout the entire fighting game community. All right. So, yeah, I think that's
it. I mean, I'm just going to stay away from 801 Strider. That's my sign off. Listen,
I just need Thursday. I need Thursday to be here so I can watch Sephiroth slice some people's. Oh, have a good one, you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.